Talking about English-speaking jobs in Germany, I think this is a topic that we have discussed from various perspectives. One, of course, being that there is a lack of skilled workers in Germany, and a lot of companies don't know where to get the applications from. Because looking at one statistics, it said that 88% of companies actually have problems getting applications in. So it's not only about the quality of applications, it's simply like getting the applications in. So this speaks to, of course, the need to hire internationally. But how can we hire internationally if, looking at most of the open jobs, we are looking for German fluency from the day one when a person needs to come to Germany first and start their job? And I mean, I'll give you the floor in a second to hear your perspective, but talking about my personal perspective, I mean, coming from Ecuador, I of course was lucky enough that also my mother helped us with German. We talked a lot of German. I was in a German school. So it was a much easier process to start, you know, building my career here in Germany. But I would not say that it was comfortable and easy to learn German. And then when you're here, it's so different than from what you learn in theory back in a country where you don't use it on a day-to-day. So definitely a topic we should discuss, English-speaking jobs in Germany. How can we, you know, change this process of helping companies open up more? Or what does it mean for talents, actually?
Yeah, very, very interesting topic, very important topic, because I think there's like a difference between like how we want it to be and how it currently is in reality. I mean, the German government is very busy and trying to push, oh, you need to hire internationally, right? You need to bring highly skilled workers to Germany. But I think one thing they rarely talk about is the German skills. So most of the discussion at the moment is focused on the bureaucracy involved, that we want to make it easier. It should not take as long of a time. The regulation should be more clear. And I think we're doing good jobs, doing a good job in this area and making progress. However, I still have the feeling that, like, I would say in our work, Laura, what would you say? Like 90% of the jobs, like they're at the beginning of the discussion, the company still says, okay, we want a German speaker. Not necessarily, it doesn't need to be native. So I think most companies are open. Like we don't care where you are coming from, what your background is, but they want to have a very high level of German. And I think that's also something that's German culture specific, is that we are very, how do you say, we're very tough on German mistakes, right? I know, Laura, yours is nearly perfect, and still from time to time I tell you, oh, this is how we should rather write it, especially in written German. Like it's very high German and a very proficient way of talking. Yeah, so I think all in all, there's still a difference between how long it takes candidates to learn German. It's a very hard language to learn. And then how fast an employer expects to see results. And they basically need good German skills for most of the jobs on day one, because the internal communication is in German, the communication with customers is in German. So that's the current state that I see. But what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to draw a little bit of attention to what you just said. And I mean, this is a feedback I think for everyone. Like also for me, when someone is learning German, I totally understand that there's always this need to correct, but I feel in Germany it's like very, very strong, which is a good thing because people get better faster in such a sense. But the problem I think behind it is that people who don't feel comfortable get really, really, really afraid to try out to speak the language. And the problem is, to get good at it, you need to just speak, even if you're making mistakes. So that's something to take away, I think, for every one of us when we see someone learning German, to be a little bit less strict, at least. But yeah, coming back to your point, Luca, I definitely agree. Like, I think what we want to make clear here before we go more in depth is, we understand that there is a need to learn German, right? It makes sense from the company's perspective because, I mean, probably a big part of your employer base speaks German, comes from Germany, and in coffee breaks or smaller breaks, they might come back to speaking in German. So if you as a new employer want to fully, you know, be part of this culture, truly understand the work culture, be, you know, making new friends or good colleagues, networking, you know, understanding hierarchies, knowing German makes a lot of sense. So we're not saying that you should hire someone who has zero interest in learning German, right? That's very, very important to say. And also for the talents looking for a job in Germany, we're also saying it's very important that if you decide to come to a country that has a different language, that you put some effort into learning it. It just makes your life easier. It helps to create, you know, much better connections, a much easier life for you in the long run. So this being said, there's still so many things that companies need to also improve to make the process easier. And as you said, like when we start working, and I always say, like, do you really need it to do the job? Like the performance, will it decrease if you don't speak German, or can you still perform in a good way, when speaking English, learning German on the side? So yeah, I think there should be a differentiation between positions. Like for some positions, you might need a very high level, native level, maybe even. But then for a lot of others positions, you shouldn't. And I think companies shouldn't make one rule. Like for every position, we require native level, just because, as you said, not native, but like, you know, very, very advanced.
Yeah, very good point. I would like to emphasize the last one. So it really depends on position. So if we are talking, for example, about IT and especially software development, like there are especially like big scale ups of the last years, like these big tech companies, they have said, okay, we are dropping the German requirement, even if you're located in Germany, but our company language is English, because number one, this allows us to hire more easily. There's a shortage of experienced software developers, and the technology is changing so fast, so we have a high demand for hiring, but the supply is not as high. So let's do that by hiring internationals. There's a lot of very good international software developers, and that's really like an advantage. And then, but even if you stay in IT, like for example, some other roles, like usually in IT support, there is a higher need for German fluency, because you will probably have some German colleagues who maybe don't speak so well English, and with them you need to talk in German if they have some IT problem that you need to fix, right? So, and we can see even in the same domain, like it really depends from role to role. And that's the thing that I always tell the companies that I work with, if I really feel like this is the position where we don't need fluent German skills, then really, really think about dropping it, because it just increases the available talent pool so much. And you can have way more candidates that are going to be interested, because you can hire both, of course, German speakers, but also non-German speakers. It's just a way bigger talent pool. And then from the more interest we gain on the market, then you can really focus on hiring the best talent that really stands out in the interview process.
Yeah, it makes so much sense what you just said, because I mean, sometimes when I read through the ads, and I mean, that happens when we also talk with our clients, sometimes we read through the requirements, and then this German, you know, fluency requirements, sometimes I'm like, what happens if the person doesn't have it? And most of the times the answer is they will still be able to do their job, right? So are you hiring someone because they speak German, or because they're really, really good at their job? And if you're looking for someone that does the job really, really good, then maybe it's a good idea to open up the talent pool first, and then think about how can we help this person become really good at speaking German as well. And that brings me to another point. I posted about this topic on LinkedIn yesterday, and one person, I can sadly not remember the name, but brought up another very good point, which is, you know, if you are willing to hire the best talent, and let's say these are international talents, you as a company might have much different budgets to access much better language trainings than, you know, a person on their own when living abroad in a place where they never need to use that language. So as a company, you might be able to advance the German language in a much faster way, instead of already expecting that. Also, because if we look at language trainings, the really good ones are very, very expensive. So as a talent, it's really, you know, a big decision. Should I learn it if I don't even have a job yet? And I totally understand that. It's a fair question. German is not a language you will need very much.
Yeah, very, very interesting point. Definitely, there's definitely something to it. I think still the problem is a little bit also on the timing. So everything is right. The problem is that, like, still with very, very good training, most of the time, like, it will still take like 6 to 12 months until you start seeing results. And then I think, but even that, like, there are some programs, I know some programs where it's even faster. Besides, the problem is then the candidates need to be really, really motivated. And what I saw sometimes in the past, and I think this is a little bit on the hesitancy on the side of the company, is number one, you need to have the process in place. So what you just talked about mostly probably works for bigger companies that have dedicated training and development specialists, or maybe a whole team that is in touch with the best trainers who can evaluate your programs with constant rate. This does not work for your average small to medium-sized business with 20 employees where the business owner is still involved in the business and still making sales. You don't have time to implement such training measures, probably what I'm thinking. And then again, it will still take time, and then a high level of commitment on the side of the candidate. So I know one or two stories where they actually tried this. Company were really open to it. And then, of course, they made one bad experience where it's like, oh, this person and was on a job. They moved to Germany. Of course, I understand there's a lot of things going on, right? You need to apply for visa, you need to find a flat. You are living in a completely new culture suddenly. And then, of course, you also need to start your job you're trying to perform. And then how much resources do you still have left to really train the German, right? So this is where it's really important. If you are trying to make this argument with your company, you really need to show them that you are committed to it. And I think what could be a really good track is that, yes, instead of just saying, well, there are better trainings than you can afford than I, it's kind of like shifting the blame. You can tell them, hey, I found this training online, even in the interview process, you can tell them, hey, I know my German is not up to level. I found this specific training online. Look, it only costs this much. I would commit myself. We can write this in the employment contract. I commit myself to going to these classes. I commit myself to improving my German. Let's say until the end of the probation period in 6 months, I'm going to be at that level. We can write that in the employment contract so that you really have the security also as an employer that I really will go to these courses, that I will practice my German skills. Yeah. So this is what I think a lot of companies are a little bit hesitant because they made one or they heard about one company making bad experience and then they are really hesitant. So this is what you can do to maybe convince them. And there are also some cases where I know it worked, right? Where you and I, we are in touch with so many talents from Germany, but also internationally. And there's a lot of stories where the company and the employee also both are very happy and it's a very good match.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked actually that you switched the perspective because I was thinking from the other way, like this is like an incentive for companies to offer really, really cool trainings if you have the possibility, or even if you're a smaller company, just working, you know, with a trainer that you trust, that you know that is good, and then being able to offer that in the job ad per se as an additional benefit for internationals who want to come to Germany. But I like to switch that around because I wasn't thinking in that way, that you as a talent for now, where companies might not yet have, you know, this whole process to help you learn German, to be the one who pitches it. And then you made a really good way of how to pitch it. I really like this. And I mean, this is such a great idea because you're going to get better at learning German. You are going to show the motivation, which is also going to impress the employer. So I think that's really, really good. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. So maybe just to take a few. So I think we both agree a lot on the fact that English speaking jobs, depending on the position, but wherever it makes sense, should become more and more, you know, normal, more common in the job market in Germany because there's a need for it. And I think also as a company, you should think very future oriented right now. You should be the one opening a talent pool. And the earlier you start to also make a name for top international talents, the easier your life will get in the future as well to attract them. So this is the first point I think that we both agree on. And now we were already talking a little bit more on how we can make this happen because we still both agree that German is important and should be learned also by people who come to Germany or want to, you know, start a good and strong career here. So we were talking about language courses already from both sides. You as a talent can pitch language courses. You as a company can use them as a benefit. Are there any other things that companies can do, you know, to help attract more talents, or especially when it comes, you know, to English speaking talents?
Yeah, so you mentioned the word like language courses, which to me implies like a courses like with a lot of participants, right? So usually you see even better results if you have something like one-on-one training maybe, or one-on-one like language coaching, you could even say, where someone helps a person to learn on their own. So one-on-one usually has higher commitment, right? And especially if you just, what I would not do is just buy some online course and then send your people there, because like in person usually works better, even if it takes more time to travel there. And then also you need to focus on the amount of time that you are asked to speak. And this is why I like one-on-one so much. Or for example, offering something like language tandems. So you maybe have one person in your organization who wants to learn German and the other person wants to improve their English. And then they kind of like switch back and forth, right? That's usually, you can count how much of the training session do you actually speak. And this will determine how effective the training is. So really look for these like speaking opportunities, which in turn also means that even if you decide to hire someone and you said, oh, we're going to be more international friendly, like still talk with them in German and force them to learn the German, right? So this is also not the best case if you just say, well, from now on, no one is speaking German anymore in this organization, we're all speaking English. Like, that's not what we mean. Because again, you learn by doing, and in this case, this means you learn by speaking. So this is just very important as a principle to keep in mind.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, as a talent, you can look for these opportunities inside the job if the company offers something, or also outside, right? You can create your own tandem partner. You can also look for outside for, you know, internationals in that city and so on and so forth. But I really like this idea. And I think that companies should try to implement. I mean, I've seen, you know, this buddy programs that some companies offer, which is more intended to help you, you know, integrate into German in the sense of getting the documents and stuff. But you could also extend that to language trainings, because I think for so many employees, it could be very interesting to also, you know, practice English or another language, depending where the person comes from. And then on the exchange, also help them learn German. So I think this is a great idea for both sides. And beyond that, I also like the fact that you should encourage the person to learn German a bit more. I understand that you shouldn't make every meeting in German, because in the beginning it might be a little bit exhausting, but you can start here and there, especially in one-on-one meetings, to keep on practicing German. Even I know that it can be a lot of effort for someone who, you know, has so many tasks and just wants to say and then move to the next meeting, but it still makes in the long run a lot of a difference. Anything else that we can add? Any other idea for companies, for talents?
Yeah, I think we covered the most important. So it's really about commitment. It's about communicating your plans as a talent, right? And I think then as an employer, it's really being open. Like, I understand that. I mean, it's always about your situation, right? We recently had a case where we were deciding for a German-speaking position, but it's really hard to attract the right person. And we had one person did not speak so well. German was just starting to learn. And then, of course, we had another native speaker. And then, of course, in the end, the decision was made for the native speaker. We were really talking about it and really discussing. But in the end, it just proved to be a less risky option. Of course, if you have that option, then I understand every company would go for a native speaker if it's part of the job. However, if let's imagine you did not have the other option, native speaker, and then being open to someone, you get an application or your headhunter presents you with a candidate that maybe the German skills are not up to par, at least talk to them. So this is what I always say, right? What I don't like is that we automatically reject without talking about it. And talk with them and see if you trust them to improve. And usually these matches turn out to be very, very good. So maybe that's also a little bit of my summary for today's episode. Is, as you said in the beginning, Laura, we really have this need for international talents in the German market for high-skilled workers. This is really important to say. Because our demographic, the German demographic, is shrinking, and especially the working population, we have more elderly people than younger people coming after them or being born later. And so this is why we'll need to attract skilled workers from abroad. However, the German skills at the moment is what I see is that the biggest problem at the moment between companies and the talents to find together, because companies have a need for a high German skill at the moment right away from the moment they start, and the candidates say we still need longer time. So can we find a good solution here where you as a talent, you are committed to learning, you show them, hey, I'm already at A2 or B1 level. I already started, but of course I'm not perfect yet because I need to be in a German environment. When the company says, yes, I trust you to do this, let's develop a plan together how to do this. And this, to my view, is the best way how to solve this issue.
Awesome. I will also leave two blog post links in the notes with some ideas for companies hiring internationally so that it also helps in the process of, you know, the language courses, but also the hiring process. Thank you, Luca. Awesome conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you need some help with attracting talent, whether that's Germans or internationals, you can always write to us. Reach out to team@careerbeat.de. And we are happy to discuss your requirements and find the best talents for you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're super happy to have you here. And if you are a company who's looking for talents to expand their team, make sure to check out our services at careerbeat.de. Because there we explain how we help you find top talents much faster. And on the other side, if you're a talent who's currently looking for a job here in Germany, then make sure to also check out our website under careerbeat.de/talents, because there you'll discover more about our brand new masterclass, where we really guide you step by step on how to find that dream job of yours. But in either case, you can also just send us a direct email to team@careerbeat.de, because we're also super happy to address all your questions directly there. Wishing you a wonderful day.